Can you feel the change? This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. So can you feel the change? I can feel it. It's a change in momentum. We're over the top and headed downhill. The other day when I walked home after locking my keys in the truck, most of the first half of the way was uphill. And once I reached the top and was no longer fighting against gravity, it felt so good. Well, now we've passed the halfway mark. Today is a milestone. It begins the second half of our year-long journey through the Bible together. No matter how long you've been with me this season, whether from the first episode or this is your first day, pat yourself on the back. The decision to read the entire Bible is always a good one. I'm proud of you in a good way and happy to have you as part of the LifeSpring family. Thank you. Well, today we're going to read Psalms 78 through 80. I'll give you an introduction before reading each chapter, and after reading all the chapters, I'll have some comments. And to mark today's milestone, I'm calling this episode Onward. The show notes page for today's episode is lifespringmedia.com/S12E182. Let's begin. The title of Psalm 78 is A Contemplation of Asaph. Asaph served as the temple worship leader during King David and King Solomon's times. He was a singer, a musician, a poet, and a composer. Plus, he was a prophet. Psalm 78 is the longest of the historical Psalms. The message, according to commentator James Montgomery Boyce, and I agree with this, is that history must not repeat itself. The people must never again be unbelieving. Psalms chapter 78. Listen, my people, to my teaching. Tilt your ears towards the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a proverb. I'll declare riddles from days long gone, ones that we've heard and learned about, ones that our ancestors told us. We won't hide them from their descendants. We'll tell the next generation all about the praise due the Lord and His strength, the wondrous works God has done. He established a law for Jacob and set up instruction for Israel, ordering our ancestors to teach them to their children. This is so that the next generation and children not yet born will know these things, and so they can rise up and tell their children to put their hope in God, never forgetting God's deeds, but keeping God's commandments, and so that they won't become like their ancestors, a rebellious, stubborn generation, a generation whose heart wasn't set firm, and whose spirit wasn't faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, armed with bows, retreated on the day of battle. They didn't keep God's covenant. They refused to walk in His instruction. They forgot God's deeds as well as the wondrous works He showed them. But God performed wonders in their ancestors' presence in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. God split the sea and led them through, making the waters stand up like a wall. God led them with a cloud by day, by the lightning all through the night. God split rocks open in the wilderness, gave them plenty to drink, as if from the deep itself. God made streams flow from the rock, made water run like rivers. But they continued to sin against God, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their hearts, demanded food for their stomachs. They spoke against God. "Can God set a dinner table in the wilderness?" they asked. True, God struck the rock and water gushed and streams flowed, but can He give bread too? Can He provide meat for His people? When the Lord heard this, He became furious. A fire was ignited against Jacob. Wrath also burned against Israel because they had no faith in God, because they didn't trust His saving power. God gave orders to the skies above, opened heaven's doors, and rained manna on them so they could eat. He gave them the very grain of heaven. Each person ate the bread of the powerful ones. God sent provisions to satisfy them. God set the east wind moving against the skies and drove the south wind by His strength. He rained meat on them as if it were dust in the air. He rained as many birds as the sand on the seashore. God brought the birds down in the center of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were completely satisfied. God gave them exactly what they had craved. But they didn't stop craving, even with the food still in their mouths. So God's anger came up against them, He killed the most hardy of them. He cut down Israel's youth in their prime. But in spite of all that, they kept sinning and had no faith in God's wondrous works. So God brought their days to an end, like a puff of air, and their years in total ruin. But whenever God killed them, they went after Him. They would turn and earnestly search for God. They would remember that God was their rock, that the Most High was their Redeemer. But they were just flattering Him with lip service. They were lying to Him with their tongues. Their hearts weren't firmly set on Him. They weren't faithful to His covenant. But God, being compassionate, kept forgiving their sins, kept avoiding destruction. He took back His anger so many times, wouldn't stir up all His wrath. God kept remembering that they were just flesh, just breath that passes and doesn't come back. How often they rebelled against God in the wilderness and distressed Him in the desert. Time and time again they tested God, provoking the Holy One of Israel. They didn't remember God's power, the day when He saved them from the enemy. How God performed His signs in Egypt, His marvelous works in the field of Zoan. God turned their rivers into blood. They couldn't drink from their own streams. God sent swarms against them to eat them up, frogs to destroy them. God handed over their crops to caterpillars, their land's produce to locusts. God killed their vines with hail, their sycamore trees with frost. God delivered their cattle over to disease, their herds to plagues. God unleashed His burning anger against them, fury, indignation, distress, a troop of evil messengers. God blazed a path for His wrath. He didn't save them from death, but delivered their lives over to disease. God struck down all of Egypt's oldest males. In Ham's tents, He struck their pride and joy. God led His own people out like sheep, guiding them like a flock in the wilderness. God led them in safety. They were not afraid, but the sea engulfed their enemies. God brought them to His holy territory, to the mountain that His own strong hand had acquired. God drove out the nations before them and apportioned property for them. He settled Israel's tribes in their tents. But they tested and defied the Most High God. They didn't pay attention to His warnings. They turned away, became faithless just like their ancestors. They twisted away like a defective bow. They angered God with their many shrines. They angered Him with their idols. God heard and became enraged. He rejected Israel utterly. God abandoned the sanctuary at Shiloh, the tent where He had lived with humans. God let His power be held captive, let His glory go to the enemy's hand. God delivered His people up to the sword. He was enraged at His own possession. Fire devoured His young men, and His young women had no wedding songs. God's priests were killed by the sword, and His widows couldn't even cry. But then my Lord woke up as if He'd been sleeping. Like a warrior shaking off wine, God beat back His foes. He made them an everlasting disgrace. God rejected the tent of Joseph and didn't choose the tribe of Ephraim. Instead, He chose the tribe of Judah, the mountain of Zion, which He loves. God built His sanctuary like the highest heaven and like the earth, which He established forever. And God chose David, His servant, taking him from the sheepfolds. God brought him from shepherding nursing ewes to shepherd His people, Jacob, to shepherd His inheritance, Israel. David shepherded them with a heart of integrity. He led them with the skill of His hands.
The title of Psalm 79 is A Psalm of Asaph. Now, as we read this psalm, it appears that it was written after Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians in about 587 BC. Well, King Solomon died in 931 BC, 340 years before. So the Asaph of David and Solomon's time could not be the Asaph mentioned in the title of this psalm. James Montgomery Boyce had this to say about a later Asaph. He said, "Either this is a later Asaph, which is not unlikely since the name might have been perpetuated among the temple musicians, or more likely, the name was affixed to many psalms produced by this body of musicians. We know that the descendants of Asaph, also called the sons of Asaph, were functioning as late as the reign of Josiah. We read about that in 2 Chronicles 35:15.
Psalm 79. O God, the nations have invaded the land that belongs to you. They have dishonored your holy temple. They have left Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead bodies of your servants to the birds for food. They have given the flesh of your godly ones to the animals. They have shed the blood of your people around Jerusalem as though it were water. There is no one to bury your people. We have become a disgrace to our neighbors, an object of ridicule and contempt to those around us. How long, O Lord, will you remain angry forever? Will your fury continue to burn like fire? Pour your fury on the nations that do not know you, on the kingdoms that have not called you. They have devoured Jacob. They have destroyed his home. Do not hold the crimes of our ancestors against us. Reach out to us soon with your compassion, because we are helpless. Help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Rescue us and forgive our sins for the honor of your name. Why should the nations be allowed to say, "Where is their God?" Let us watch as the nations learn that there is punishment for shedding the blood of your servants. Let the groans of prisoners come into your presence. With your powerful arm, rescue those who are condemned to death. Pay each one of our neighbors back with 7 times the number of insults they use to insult you, O Lord. Then we, your people, the flock in your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. We will praise you throughout every generation.
The title of Psalm 80 is To the Chief Musician, set to The Lilies, A Testimony of Asaph, a Psalm. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said about this one. He said, "A later Asaph, we should suppose, who had the unhappiness to live, like the last minstrel, in evil times. If by the Asaph of David's day, this psalm was written in the spirit of prophecy, for it sings of times unknown to David."
Psalm chapter 80. Open your ears, O shepherd of Israel, the one who leads the descendants of Joseph like sheep, the one who is enthroned over the angels. Appear in front of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Wake up your power and come to save us. O God, restore us and smile on us so that we may be saved. O Lord God, commander of armies, how long will you smolder in anger against the prayer of your people? You made them eat tears as food. You often made them drink their own tears. You made us a source of conflict to our neighbors, and our enemies made fun of us. O God, commander of armies, restore us and smile on us so that we may be saved. You brought a vine from Egypt. You forced out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it so that it took root and filled the land. Its shade covered the mountains. Its branches covered the mighty cedars. It reached out with its branches to the Mediterranean Sea. Its shoots reached the Euphrates River. Why did you break down the stone fences around this vine? All who pass by are picking its fruit. Wild boars from the forest graze on it. Wild animals devour it. O God, commander of armies, come back. Look from heaven and see. Come to help this vine. Take care of what your right hand planted, the son you strengthened for yourself. The vine has been cut down and burned. Let them be destroyed by the threatening look on your face. Let your power rest on the man you have chosen, the son of man you strengthened for yourself. Then he will never turn away from you. Give us life again, and we will call on you. O Lord God, commander of armies, restore us and smile on us so that we may be saved.
Let's talk for a moment about Psalms 79 and 80. These are good examples of a repentant Israel crying out to God after he has disciplined them for deserting him. The writer recounts how their enemies have wreaked havoc on the land and the people, and he asks God to turn his anger away from his people and toward those who don't acknowledge him. He confesses that Israel is helpless without him, and he promises that when God delivers them, they will praise him. And beloved, this is an excellent model for repentance and confession for us today. It's good to acknowledge our pain before God and to tell him the circumstances of our situation. If we're going through his discipline, we should acknowledge that we're aware of that and then ask forgiveness. It's healthy to confess that we truly are helpless without him. Of course, we should always praise him, right? But especially when we sense his presence and intervention in our lives. Yes, God knows all of this before we speak it, because He is, after all, God. But speaking the words is a way of showing Him that our heart is truly seeking Him and broken. It shows that we have a contrite heart, and God loves a heart that is contrite. When God sees that our heart is right, He will always respond with love. He yearns for the opportunity to bless His people. What do you think? Comment at lifespringmedia.com/S12E182. Our reading tomorrow will be Proverbs 8 and 9.
Boost!
We have a brand new associate producer for today's show. Robert Brink came in with a first donation of $100. Thank you, Robert. He wrote, "When I heard we were halfway, I realized I'm way past due for giving you some support. May God bless this podcast." Well, Robert, may God bless you. Thank you very, very much. And yes, these executive and associate producer credits are legitimate, because producers are usually responsible for the creation of a particular project in some way. You can list these credits on IMDb, LinkedIn, and any place you'd list anything like that, and I will vouch for all producer credits earned from donations to LifeSpring Media. So who's next? Who will be the next producer? You can find out all the details on what it takes to be an associate, executive, or even a distinguished producer for the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible at lifespringmedia.com/support.
Boostergram.
And Sean of
San Pedro
sent a Boostergram of 1,000 sats from the Fountain app. He said, "Halfway there. So much has happened in the past 6 months. Thank God He is with us. I'm looking forward to the second half." Well, thank you, Sean. So am I. God bless you, Sean. And last but not least, a couple of anonymous 500 sat boosts came in from someone using the PodFriend app. There was no messages with these, just the sats. Thanks to whoever sent those. God bless you, too. Value for value. If you believe that God's Word is needed today, if the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible has helped you stay in the Word, if you've been encouraged in your faith, then don't you think it's reasonable to help support the show? I've made it easy to do over at lifespringmedia.com/support. Thank you, and God bless you. On this date in church history, March 2nd, 1930, Gustav Herbert Schmidt, who lived from 1891 to 1958 and was an American missionary, he opened the Danzig Institute. You know, I'm not even going to try and pronounce this in the language of this Eastern European place. He opened the Danzig Institute of the Bible in the free city of Danzig. It was the first Pentecostal Bible Institute established in Eastern Europe. And on this date in church history, March 2, 1959, American Presbyterian missionary and apologist Francis A. Schaeffer wrote in a letter, "Christianity is the greatest intellectual system the mind of man has ever touched." That's a great thought. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, oh, how we need You. Not only do You sustain our very lives, but You are our shield, our rock, our provider, and our salvation. We worship You and we praise You, Lord. All that we are, we offer to You. Thank You for taking us through the first half of this year of reading Your Word. We pray that You'd be with us as we continue through to the end. Teach us, Lord. Encourage us. Keep our eyes on the goal. And I pray now for the LifeSpring family, Lord. Bless them for their dedication to this task. I know it takes a commitment to listen, and I ask, Lord, that You make the time fruitful for them, despite my own limitations. I humbly ask that You use me, Lord, to be Your instrument. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a prayer request or a praise that you'd like to share with the LifeSpring family, send it in at prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Share the show. It's never too late to join. And comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E182 and email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thanks for being here. My name is Steve Webb. Onward. Bye.